This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
At present, there is no provision within the national curriculum for pupils in Key Stage 2 to receive any education that tackles climate change topics. Don't you think that's mad?
I think that's sad.
Hello and welcome to this Tread Lightly podcast from us at the Raynham Eco Hub. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Liz.
And this podcast is where we delve a little bit deeper into those conversations with local everyday heroes that are doing small and impactful changes. We hope that you get as much out of this as me and Liz do, and that you also laugh just as much too. Hello, welcome back to this episode where Liz and I have a little chat over lunch about eco schools. Eco schools is an accreditation for schools that are wanting to become more environmentally friendly. There is already 15,000 schools that are signed up across the UK, and we look at specifically the 12 schools in our local area that are doing exactly that. We hope you enjoy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, you?
I'm all right, thank you. I never open.
You never open what?
I never open this. I never am the first to say hello. So she's going, hi Liz, how are you? So how are you, Kaylee?
I'm good. I feel like spring is nearly here and fills me with joy.
That's good.
I've got daffodils in my garden.
Have you? I'm going to look out your window. I'm going to have a little look on the way out.
Can we just set the scene a minute really quickly before we go into this episode?
Yes.
We are sat in the studio, which we have now decided is going to be a...
a zen den.
A
is that what I was meant to say?
Yeah. But we're also going to open up a...
Oh, I know what you're going to say. I said the wrong thing. It's not a zen den.
Well, it is a zen den, but we're also going to open up a rescue centre for dying plants.
Oh, the dying plant rescue centre that we need a better name for than that.
I think that's pretty cool.
The Dying Plant Rescue Centre. We need a sign out the front as well.
Our studio is currently being revamped in an eco way, and it's very exciting. We can't wait to share the pictures with you.
Yeah. Online. Secondhand sofa, donated paint, and loads and loads and loads and loads of houseplants.
We just got to keep them alive now.
We're going with a rescue centre for them, both knowing that... you stand more chance of keeping them alive than me.
Well, today, I'm so excited for this because we're going to chat about... eco schools. And do you think that we underestimate the power that schools are? They are a ready-made community that's already there, aren't they?
Oh my God. And the stuff they put out as well. I tell you what schools just are rubbish at is just being able to say, we're really good at this and celebrating. They do celebrate. They celebrate the kids. They celebrate the work and the output from that point of view. But there's all this other stuff where I'm like, that's amazing. Shout it from the rooftops. I guess they just don't have time, do they, to do their own PR.
No. And also, I guess it's a bit like blowing your own trumpet. But I think sometimes we just need to get better at that, don't
we? Yeah.
I mean, you could take a leaf from that book, personally, to be honest.
What?
Tooting your own trumpet.
Tooting my own trumpet. Well, we got 12 schools in Raynham, right?
Yeah.
So that's a mixture of primary and secondary. And in 2020, one of the real focuses for us when we first started the hub was like, let's understand what the schools are doing. There was only 11 at the time, wasn't there? And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, every single school in Raynham now is somewhere on that journey.
Yes, they are. How amazing is that?
So cool, isn't it? And we talk to all of them and they are often invited to things and they come to things and they want to share. And I think they're getting really good at celebrating. They're getting really good now at celebrating what they do for the environment.
I think it's really good.
Swapping stuff. So yeah, I thought it'd be good today just to be able to chat through if you're an eco school, if you are working in a school, if you want to scratch that itch and say, I want our school to be a little bit more sustainable. Thought it'd be really good just to swap some really good initiatives that are happening in the 12 local schools here. I know the demographic for the schools are going to be quite different, the size, the scale, the building. So I just thought, if you're happy to, just swapping over, this person's doing really good stuff, this person's being really good stuff, and try and encourage people to get on that journey because time and money is tough, right?
Absolutely. I think everybody must know this by now, but like grassroots action is where it is at, right? That is where my absolute joy and passion, and I will jump up and down all day long saying grassroots is where change needs to come from.
100%.
It needs to come from the bottom up. But you'll be surprised to know that I've been thinking a lot lately about how bottom up is always good and it's always best, but we need to have top down as well. It needs to be able to meet in the middle. And so, like Multi Academy Trust, so
the trusts have got so much weight and power that the schools locally, students, teachers, doing amazing stuff. But I feel like it needs to kind of, nobody can see what I'm doing with my hands right now, but like, you know, the top needs to meet the bottom and there needs to kind of like come in the middle. And so I was like doing a bit of digging, especially for this recording. And I found that there is a National Mat Awards. Did you know that?
I didn't. Talk to me about that.
So National Mat Awards are essentially a yearly annual awards. Next one, I think, is in March. And they reward mats for lots of different areas. So, you know, sustainability and X, Y, Z. Can't even think of the topics at the top of my name, but I was specifically looking for their kind of like environmental schools. And you essentially nominate yourself and they mark you on your homework. And I was just looking at that and thinking, that's great, isn't it? That's wonderful. We kind of look at award schemes as going, oh, this is the be all and end all. And sometimes that's what gets people motivated, isn't it? Is being able to be recognised for that sort of stuff. And I was looking at the winner for last year, which is in Windsor,
right?
Windsor Academy Trust. And I kind of went on there and I thought, oh, I'm going to go on and I'm going to find out all of this amazing stuff. I'm going to learn, like, what have they done to be like, in the UK, these are the multi-academy trust people that are like absolutely winning. Went on and it was just like, yeah, they've basically been really, really good at having this conversation, you know, and doing some work, but it didn't label it. It didn't label what they're doing. And I'm like, come on, man.
I want to
know what the stuff is. So then I went onto the school's website and it basically said, you know, they're really committed to all of their schools being carbon neutral.
Oh, so it's an environmental thing.
By 2030. Yeah, because they were the winners of sustainability for the whole UK.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Can I quote you some research here, which I think
it underpins
everything. So within schools, time is of the essence, money is of the essence. People are stretched beyond all belief. And so doing this environmental stuff is just another thing to do. But at present, there is no provision within the national curriculum for pupils in Key Stage 2 to receive any education that tackles climate change topics. Don't you think that's mad?
I think that's sad.
And I know it's so easy to go, you should cover that in the national curriculum. I bet you they're like, oh yeah, cheers, that's just great. Like, I didn't think
add another thing onto the things that I need to teach.
But they were saying that Caroline Hickman, who's a lecturer at the University of Bath, she's a psychotherapist and she's a climate anxiety expert. She describes children as having a deep concern about climate change that is going unheard. So essentially, the research is out there to suggest that this is affecting children's mental health. Mm. Children really, really care about this, and yet it's not covered in the curriculum. And so I think there's twofold pieces. There's kind of what you can do from like a, you can plant trees, you could run an eco group, you could do a litter pick, you could change your provider. But actually, from the learning perspective, it's showing how important this is going to be able to weave it in, as you're saying, from the top down, as well as what people can do just in terms of doing action.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the things that they've looked at in terms of the impact of climate change action is that they're starting to understand that young people can be really effective educators of adults, particularly their parents, and daughters are especially effective at educating their fathers.
That is absolutely true in my house.
Isn't it mad? And the same in my house as well. And so essentially they're saying young people involved in climate action report that it improves their mental health, but it can also save the school money by reducing energy costs. And you suddenly go, oh, this isn't like a nice to have. This is like a must have from an education point of view, from an empowering point of view, from a reducing energy point of view, from a mental health perspective. And that has to come from above to make that be weaved through all aspects of school.
Exactly, because it needs to be a whole approach thing. It's a bit like a school community is a family. That's what they say, right? Well, it's the same as in this family, isn't it? Like, if we're not all interconnected, interweaving, talking to each other about this is what's important to us, this is why we do this, this is why we do this, it just wouldn't work, would it? Because if you don't know why that person's doing that and that, but it's just going to get really annoying, isn't it? It's a bit like me and my husband with recycling. He just doesn't get it and it causes friction because I'm like, don't put that in that bin. And I know I'm bringing that down to a really basic level, but it's the same in a school, is that if you've not got everybody on board, it rubs, doesn't it? It's not gonna make sense.
Totally.
Did she say, that lady, what can kind of happen it to be taught in schools? Is she just saying that it just needs to be
put into Key Stage 4, maybe even Key Stage 3 now. So it is starting, you know, that movement is starting, but I think it's going to come because kids clearly care. And kids clearly want this and they want to be able to do stuff. And I think that's where we've seen such good action within our town when, you know, people have scratched that itch and asked if children are interested. And the answer is, you know, from the research, like, yes, we are 100% interested. I guess the question is how do you weave that through when you've got no extra money, you've still got no extra resource, and it's just another thing that you have to do on top of your job? Do you want to live more sustainably, but you just don't know where to start?
Did you, like me, sign up for Veganuary and accidentally buy chicken sausages on day two?
Does the whole eco thing leave you feeling confused and sometimes overwhelmed? If so, this is the podcast for you.
Remember to check us out on our socials on Facebook and Instagram, the Raynham Eco Hub.
And the research that I read out was kind of brought together. It wasn't commissioned by, but it was brought together by an organisation called Wicked Weather Watch, which is a climate change charity based in Bristol. And they have Arctic explorers come in and talk to schools, and they do information days, and you can log in online or you can get an Arctic explorer along to your school. And I mean, it's easy to say, isn't it? Just add them in as an assembly. But, you know, maybe that's being spoken about anyway. Maybe that's the way that you teach children about the Arctic. Maybe that's how you teach about the weather and climate, that, you know, you're kind of reaching out, as you always say, reaching out to other organisations who are really good at this stuff. Mm. And can it take the pressure off rather than adding the pressure on by bringing these kind of organisations to the audiences that they want to talk to?
So can I bring it back a bit?
Please do.
I haven't thought through what I'm going to say, right? So just hear it as I say it. It's almost like it's a nice to have, like it needs to be an add-on. And I think where I would love to be, and I know that this is like long shot, but where I would love to be is that most people have an understanding of what it means to be caring for our environment. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a sat down 40-minute planned lesson. It doesn't need to cost money. It doesn't need to... I think... simple things like, we've got a local school who decided that they wanted to have food caddies in their classroom. So they got them free from the council, food caddy in each of their classrooms. Guys, any food waste, this is where we're going to put it, because what we're going to do is going to use it for compost, end of story. And then it might be, we've got a gardening club, actually, and then you can go and learn about what that compost is used for. I think it needs to be like your daily rituals, your daily routines of like, this is why we do this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
So it doesn't give I understand that doesn't give a depth of understanding and learning into compost and the, you know, benefits of that, et cetera. But that can come, right? Because people, we're all curious. We'd all be like, okay, so why do we need the compost? You know, it's having those conversations and being able to nurture that sort of curiosity into like those areas.
But it's really nice, isn't it?
But doing those, you know, here's a recycling bin. We don't waste paper. You know, my daughter comes back all the time and is like, Mum, we don't waste paper. We always make sure we turn the lights off. You know, those sorts of things are really, they're becoming ingrained now, and that's not a big educational piece. So I think it's more about that sort of stuff as well.
Business as usual things.
As well as... I'm not saying that replaces a kind of, you know, dedicated lesson around the effects of climate change and kind of what we can do about it.
Yeah.
But I think it just needs to become that, you know, you care about it. You know, you've got people at the front leading that care about this stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
And then when they care, you've got a teacher that is passionate about something, cares about something, those kids are going to pick that up.
Yeah,
because you can't not, can you?
Yeah. And I love the Howard School where we are, they design signs all around the school saying switch off your lights.
Mm.
And so
I love that.
That's art. That's
I love
design.
That.
That's like kind that. Of that's the creative piece of work that then got stuck around the school.
Yeah,
but they were doing it anyway.
No.
And so I love that then they can maybe take that home, put it up at the school, put it up at home or whatever. But you could do the same with like, which is the recycling bins. You know,
yeah.
The artistic side
yeah.
of things.
And I would love for like the light switch example. You know, I would absolutely love for that to then inspire the members and board members of a trust to be able to go, actually, let's start looking about where our energy comes from. How as a school can we save money by changing our energy to provider to a more green provider? Do you know what I mean?
Kids care. So
the kids care. So actually, let's start listening to them. And it's that sort of thing of, you know, kids being able to teach adults. Forever, it's always been adults know best. And I think actually...
the research tells us that's not what's
it's
happening.
It's not, yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? Can you think of any other really cool examples of the schools that we've visited where you've gone, that is a great initiative and I love that?
Most schools have this, so it'd be like generic across the UK, but I still think forest school is really important. And I think the longer that you can keep a forest school session in your school is
what would you do in a forest school? So
forest school, you're basically getting your wellies on, your overalls, you're going outside, you're connecting with nature, aren't you? You're looking at the leaves, identifying leaves that have come from trees, you're kind of being able to plant things, being able to, I mean, I'm not a forest school teacher, so gone are the years where my kids used to go to forest school, but I think it's that sort of stuff. And a lot of people only have that from year R to year one.
I was going to say, yeah.
And then it kind of ends. But I think actually as we get older, especially when you start talking about, you know, eco-anxiety and stuff, and that's becoming more and more common. The schools that we're talking to, they're saying that is actually becoming more and more of a thing and an issue. I think forest school is the way to go. You're connecting with the thing that you are caring about and that you want to protect. And that just goes hand in hand for me.
And I can imagine teachers would be screaming down their phone to me saying this, because I know it's utopia. But can you imagine there's a kid that's like just climbing the walls and going, not having a good day, and they were able to, and I know resource does not permit this, but just go and take a fresh air walk in nature and just go and like sit amongst the trees.
I can remember doing that I think it was in year five or year six. I can remember it being a really hot day and us taking our work. And we went out onto our field and we sat in the shade under a big, massive tree. And I'm 38 now.
Wow, you remember
that. And I can
that.
Still remember it. And I think I can remember it, one, because it was obviously out of the ordinary, because you would normally be sat in a stuffy classroom. But I remember it, I think, because that's just where I felt so free. Like I felt like I could just be. And creatively, we were writing a creative piece. So I was like able to like actually do it.
It's mad, isn't it?
Whereas the classroom just felt so, so I think, kind of gone off topic. But like, I think it's so important that we just kind of have a bit of an outside the box moment sometimes when we're kind of looking at how we can educate and connect kids to the environment and how as adults we can learn from them and be led by them, which, really nice. You know, I'm sitting here, I don't work in school anymore. I used to, and I know absolutely how much of a challenge that is. And you've got 33 kids in a classroom with all different needs, and it's not, and you've got set targets. You need to get this and this done. And I absolutely get it, but we need a revolution, babes.
Don't we just?
I hate to say it. We don't need a reform, we need a revolution.
Yeah, totally. That you go, we need to, within our targets, we need to make sure we're looking after kids' mental health, but we don't talk about nature. We need to make sure that we're addressing kind of communication and learning opportunities for, let's not talk about the environment.
But if you talk to the teachers that we have connection, you know, that we meet, you know, they all say the same thing, don't they? This isn't like us just putting our two pence in. This is where teachers are at, you know. They're kind of saying, actually, these are the things that we know are important, and they're not just important to us, but they're important to our students, which is why we do them. You know, the amount of teachers that we speak to, they go, I ain't got time for this. I haven't got time for this, but I can see how much my students care about this.
Want it, yeah.
So I make sure I give the time to it. I mean, people like that make me want to cry, because I just think it's teachers like you that actually change the world. And I kid you not, I'm not even saying that lightly. Like, I had teachers like that that would give their absolute because they cared so much about the students that they have got in their care. It's changed my life. Do you know what I mean?
Amazing, yeah.
So I just think, big up the teachers, because I just don't think that you ever realise kind of the impact. And this is completely going off topic, but have you seen Adele's A Night with Adele, where her teacher was sat in the audience?
No,
have you seen that?
No.
There's a short clip. Have a look on YouTube or something, because she was talking about her teacher that like made a big difference to her. And then the room fell silent because she was actually in the audience, and I bawled my eyes out.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really, really, but it's this, right? It's this sort of stuff. Like, we have got some pretty amazing teachers in Raynham, and I'm so pleased that we've got like the Raynham Eco Community Awards that are able to recognise, you know, staff that kind of go above and beyond, because it's you guys that are the heroes that are making the big difference, really.
One of the winners was a lady called Michaela, who works at Thames View School, and she...
Love her.
She collected up donated uniform, washed it and created... There's actually a room, there's so much, of like a little mini school secondhand shop, so there's like bags and coats.
Love
and
it. Do you know what they would call her in the community organising world? They'd call her a community connector.
Would they?
Because I was in Tesco's the other day and I was too busy talking to somebody else that I just glanced at the corner of my eye. But she has got a box in Tesco's that collects the World Book Day like things.
Hang on, you brushed over this. That's a big deal that she's got in there.
Oh, sorry. Did we not mention that before? She's got a box in Tesco's, in our local Tesco store, where people can donate like World Book Day
costumes
so that you don't have to go and buy more. But she's like, all right, mate, how are you? Da, 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 this. You go to like this community meeting and she just knows,
she's,
you know, the
genius,
right people. Yeah, and she's just not afraid to just kind of have those conversations with people. And I love people like her.
She's so clever. She did, so before Christmas, she was collecting Christmas jumpers so people don't buy brand new polyester.
So good.
Christmas jumpers for one bloody Christmas jumper day.
Yeah.
And now she's doing the same with World Book Day. She's got such a vision, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Connected with people and then put it in the local supermarket because they also want to help. Like, she's mad. And making money for the school, and the school are then spending it on hedgerow to try and reduce pollution coming from the cars on the road. And you're like, oh my God, you are worth your weight in gold. And I think it's difficult when you see someone like Michaela, you can almost be like, oh, she's so aspirational that you almost think it becomes hard because she's done such an amazing job. But there are people that do, you know, just signage and basket of mugs so that people get their morning coffee from a donated mug basket rather than getting disposable cups. And those little touches aren't to be undersold, even though they're so simple and don't necessarily take the time that Michaela takes. And that's where I think it's really good that they can connect with each other. And you've got a scheme that's working so well to help reduce poverty, help reduce costs for parents, help connect with other organisations, stop people buying more crap. And so it hits so many briefs. But then there's other places like St. Margaret's Juniors. They planted some fruit trees. The idea being that they're going to look after them over the next couple of years. And then they've got free fruit and veg for families who need healthy food.
I mean, that's absolute goals, isn't it? Didn't you think?
I think it's gold because it's ticking those boxes that need to be ticked anyway. When you're talking about, we need to look after these children who don't have enough fruit and veg in their diet.
Oh, wait, what can we do? Oh, let's grow some trees, of course.
Get kids to go out in the summer and water it. But other than that, like...
But that crosses so much stuff.
You can literally...
My head is like... Yeah, that crosses so many barriers of stuff, doesn't it?
It's so good. And even coming back to a different school again, they've got what they call a litter critter crew. And every morning during form time, I think, grab a bag and some litter pickers and you get a reward point. And some kids won't care about that, but other kids will absolutely do whatever they can to get a reward point. And just pick, I know it doesn't solve the issue by picking up litter, but just once it's set up, it can just run. And if you want to go and grab some litter pickers, you can get a reward point. Easy.
Yeah. But that's really good for people like me who feel like I need to do something to, you know, I need to physically do something to feel like I'm making a difference. And I think, you know, touch points like that are really important, aren't they? I love this conversation. Thanks so much for this.
So good, isn't it? And yeah, we're good to chat and connect with other schools that are either doing the official eco schools route or just doing good stuff.
Just doing good stuff, because both are equally as important. Thank you so much. We need to revisit this at another time.
Yes, we do.
I would love that.
Yeah, and don't forget to listen to the Howard School podcast that we recorded a couple of weeks ago, because they can give you a bit more insight into what they're doing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Raynham Eco Hub's Tread Lightly podcast. If, like us, you're trying to be more sustainable, then like and subscribe to get notified when we release new episodes, or even better, share with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you for joining us. Stay safe, keep going, and find us on socials. Cheers, guys.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.